A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Is out. They're gonna talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Kevin and Tom and Joe know all there is to know, from masterpieces to deep fried tacos. And if the movie sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we already warned you. Better watch out, it's gonna ruin the plot.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 669.
Nice.
What's better than 569s?
669s.
669s. Can you have an odd number of 69s? So it's, well, I guess in today's
just
world.
Make a circle.
Not judging.
Yeah, you do you, man.
Yeah, yeah. And you, well, actually, a 69 is the opposite of not you doing you.
I guess that's true. It's, or I guess it could be. Once you add more people to it, then yeah, it gets even weirder. The devil's triangle comes into play.
Yeah.
Why?
Why'd you go straight to the devil's triangle? Could have been the other way.
I guess that's fair.
Yeah. Now, wait a minute. A little window into. He's like, oh, I hate that so much.
It's terrible.
We're still recording this, but our subscription numbers are going down. How does.
Give it time. They'll bounce back up. It's called a refractory period.
That's right. Give me about 5 minutes. I'm ready to rock and roll.
Yeah. I remember my 30s.
I'm 40.
Okay.
Yeah. You're 40?
I'll be 40 in March.
Oh, okay. Well, that's 40. Not 40.
Yeah. I'm 39. Yeah. I'm on the higher side of 30. Yeah, in a row.
The same age Jack Benny was when he died.
Oh, really?
No.
Oh, I was lying. Wait.
So, sorry. Okay, old-timey reference. So, Jack Benny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a running gag on the show of whenever anyone asked him how old he was, he would say he was 39.
Oh.
And, like, I mean, for years. I mean, for the entirety of his career, whenever anybody asked him, he was 39. So, when he finally died.
Did they write dead at 39?
They did.
Oh, like, my gosh.
That's great.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what his year of birth was. But the obituary was basically like, Jack Benny, born 1911, died in, you know, 1974 at the age of 39.
Yeah, yeah, that's pretty good.
I think that was his official New York Times obituary, which is great.
That is pretty great.
That's great. Yeah. So, I don't know how I segued in from 69 jokes to old-timey references.
You're a master.
It is. Yeah. It's a gift.
It is a gift.
And a curse.
Well, speaking of that, let's dive into the salt mines. World's quickest episode without a review.
Yes. So let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Quick shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Wherever you find a podcast, you can find us while you're there. Be sure and follow us so you never miss an episode, and maybe leave us a review. That's always helpful.
We went up in ratings.
Woohoo! You know, this isn't a review, but it was. We had a listener with Tom Dowdy.
Yeah,
his name?
Yeah, yeah.
Who apparently is a postal worker.
That's great.
Which that used to be a non-controversial part of the government, and all of a sudden we're supposed to be outraged that the people deliver our mail.
Yeah.
So
how dare you?
Yeah, like it's like, oh, it loses us money. I'm like, it's a service. Parks don't make us money, but we go to the parks. We're not like, this park is costing me money.
Isn't it,
like,
weird?
It's just the, yeah, like, okay.
I very much appreciate the mail. Do not stop the mail.
No, please don't.
The mail's
gets
wonderful.
Up every day. I don't want to have to, like, go pick it up or wait a week to get it all at the same time. Like, no.
No.
Kevin does like to pick up mails. He liked the mails delivered straight to his house.
Correct.
That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Three or four mails at a time.
Depends. Yeah. Sometimes they
on
have
a,
bills.
On a slow day.
Yeah. $6.69.
So feeling fine.
He's been starting at the beginning and listening straight through on his work. So.
It's true.
See, I told you people do it all day. Just let it play.
I did go back and listen to the episode that he referenced, and it is true. I did not believe that somebody worked 10 hours a day, and now here's this guy running mail.
Just saying.
Yeah.
That's great. Thank you for listening for that many.
Absolutely.
It is cool.
I want to apologize for those first 172.
I know. But, I wonder what happened at 173 that really made us hit our stride.
I have no idea. I just figured like that's a good.
You finally stopped making Paul Walker jokes.
Nah, that kept going.
I feel like we found our rhythm pretty quickly. It's a different rhythm than we have now.
Yes,
but like
yes.
We got into the swing of it pretty.
Yeah,
quickly.
And there were more of us too. So like that was even. I feel like the more voices and opinions, it gets harder.
And you wonder why we had 2-hour episodes in the beginning.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, do you hear the three of us try to review a movie in an hour with five people trying
look,
to all?
We look at the clock and we're like, oh, 55 minutes. Oh. We should talk about this movie.
We're on the opening credits. Yeah.
But it is cool. I just have to say to all our listeners, you know, whether you've binged them all, whether you listen every week, whatever, like, it is cool to think that everyone's got their own stuff going on, good times, bad times, their own problems, whatever.
You know, we've had our share.
Yeah. Yes. And, and it is cool to know that like people listen to this and maybe it helps them get through a bad day or
sure.
a hard time, like that we can provide some sort of entertainment or information or whatever. Like that's cool. Like we're just three guys that started doing this because we like movies and wanted to talk about them.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that anyone listens and that people actually find something beneficial, that's cool.
The fact that one of us has a more popular and more successful podcast than this one.
That
was
still does this
that
one.
Was created after this one.
It's a sense of obligation because that one wouldn't exist.
That's fair.
Without this one.
That's
I always whenever I talk to people that listen to the clip out about Real Spoilers, I was like, Real Spoilers is Tracy Ullman to the clip out Simpsons.
That's very
right?
good.
Like it wouldn't exist without it. So like you know, and I enjoy it. It's not like I'm miserable and I'm just doing this because I feel obligated.
Yeah, and to be fair, he has to talk about exercise on the other one. Like,
that's true.
I mean,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's not like this is a chore. I am here because I want to be, not because of some misguided sense of obligation. I feel no sense of obligation to either one of
Perfect.
You.
Perfect. So. You know what? That tracks.
Yeah, totally,
yeah,
right?
Totally makes sense.
Yeah. So, we have a Facebook page, facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. And it's called the League of Show Sharers because we're hoping you'll share an episode. It's something super easy you can do that helps us out, doesn't cost you a dime, except for the cost. I guess you got your smartphone. That cost you something. But
internet
you had that
service.
You had that anyway.
Right.
These are all things you are already in possession of.
Correct.
So, there's no additional fee for you to take on.
Just like Disney. That's why I say that stuff is free. It's like we already got the Disney Plus. So, you know, if they throw you a movie that is included with it, it's like, well, you got it.
I wonder when we're going to get that, like, all the Fox stuff. Because I think Disney Plus in other countries has, like, an adult.
Yeah. Well, it's all tied up in years of licensing.
Man,
it's weird.
I wonder when that's going to happen here.
HBO gets some.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised to see a lot of that end up on Hulu.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense.
You know, just to kind of, you know.
They want
to
keep that brand. If it all goes to Disney Plus, people will stop Hulu.
Hulu, that's true.
And they, you know, if they don't have to be as worried about like, well, that movie's got boobs in it.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, sure. Sure. And
where in other countries, that's not as big of a deal. And so they can do that. But here it's so.
Yeah, it's called Disney Plus boobs.
Yeah.
Those are their services.
Disney Plus Plus.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
But the plus signs are turned just like X's.
Yes.
Nice.
But yeah, like other countries, they don't care about that.
You know, no.
So we do all these Christian shows where I work, and like we can't sell beer at the Christian shows because it's for the sinners.
You know what you can sell? Wine.
We sell water. They make their own wine.
Costs
us a fortune. Costs us such a scam. But when these bands go to other countries, like that's an American thing.
Oh, really?
Christianity and like, oh, drinking's bad. That's an American thing. That's not a Christian thing. And if you're Christian and you're listening and you're yelling at your iPhone right now, just real quick, you're fucking wrong. But
say Hail Mary real quick.
Yeah, because the evangelical movement grew out of the temperance movements in the United States. That's not a thing in Europe or South America.
I didn't realize
so,
that.
So like a lot of these bands, when they go to South America, like not only are they selling beer and alcohol at the concert, they're drinking.
Sure.
Like, once they see the rest of the world and they're like, oh, this really isn't linked to Christianity, that's just we made
wackadoo
up.
Americans.
Yeah, it's just like, we just kind of made that up. And, well, okay. Like, that's,
yeah.
Well, I guess we're good.
Yeah. They're drinking liquid death.
Right.
At the,
yes.
At
that, yeah.
We started on the liquid death. Oh, now those ads are going to show up on my Facebook
Matt
feed.
Reedy's going to burst through the door right now and start talking about
it. You sons of bitches.
Someone mentioned liquid death?
Yeah. So, people who were kind enough to share an episode this week, that's where we were, include Brent Smith, Edward Fairfax. That's a new one.
That is a new one. Thanks.
Heather Sachs, Ralph Tribble, Gabriel Lugo, Tammy Sherman, Powers, Julian, Jordan, Binge Movies, Chris Williams, Jogus Fight.
Do it.
Fightonice? I hope I'm saying that right.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah.
It's Joe Battisi.
Oh, I see. Well, then it doesn't count. Edna Chavez, My Name is Ashley Seven.
These are all new ones. These are great.
Yeah, there's a lot of new ones. Right. Ghostbusters. I think a lot of Ghostbusters.
Oh, right on, right on.
Geek to Me Radio, Ecto-1A.
Yeah.
Michigan Ghostbusters. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Michigan Ghostbusters, which now you got to wonder where the other 49 Ghostbuster troops are. Now I'm a little.
I want to know.
We're based in St. Louis in the Missouri Ghostbusters.
We have a good group here. I think they're the ones that do the zombie cars at Comic-Con.
The Zombie Squad?
They also do Ghostbuster. I think it's part of the same thing. And they're proton packs and everything.
They look
just they're very movie accurate in the car and everything.
Yeah. Christy Mannering, Colby Mack, Mike and Oscar, Spoiler Piece Theater, Ronnie Castle, In Session Film, Invasion of the Remake, Kathy O'Woods, Feelin Film, Matt Neglia, and Ryan Terry from the Forza Crowd podcast. So thank you very much for sharing an episode.
And I was on the Thanksgiving episode, so listen to that.
Oh, okay.
For what?
Forza Crowd.
Oh, nice.
I was back as a voice last season, so that was cool.
And then also... oh, yeah. If something you can do that helps us out that does cost you money, you could check out our Patreon, patreon.com/realspoilers, where for $5 a month, you get all sorts of bonus content, and it does help us out with equipment and everything. Clubhouse can't underwrite everything.
We could try, damn it.
So
they don't. We've got these fancy microphones that say, do not touch next to us.
But the best part is there's only two of them.
Yes.
You know?
For the listeners, that's totally true. So anyway, there's all that. Let's dig in, shall we?
Okay. First, has there ever been a director that has released like two movies this size, like of this spectacle?
Pandemic, though, right? Last Duel was on the shelf for a while. So
I guess that makes sense.
Yeah,
then.
But I think Spielberg's had some movies come out pretty
that
close
fast,
to
though. I feel like it's only been
Schindler's
months.
List and Jurassic Park were in the same year.
Yeah,
which is
were
crazy.
They really?
Yeah, yeah, because he basically he made Jurassic Park so he could make Schindler's List.
Oh.
They were like a black and white 3-hour movie about the Holocaust. Yeah, that's going to be a real moneymaker. And he's like, what if I made a dinosaur movie? And they were like, okay.
Fair enough, Steven.
Yeah. Yeah. But those sorts of deals happens all the time. Like, so like Razor's Edge.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good movie.
With the Bill Murray one.
Yeah.
Right. So like you got that because you got Ghostbusters because of Razor's Edge.
Oh.
He wanted to make Razor's Edge. And the studio was like, no, you make funny movies. We're not going down this road with you. And then they were like, how about you make Ghostbusters? And he was like, how about you eat a dick? And so they were like, okay.
That's all right.
Yeah.
So Razor's Edge then? Perfect.
Right.
Thanks.
You know the scene in there's a scene in Razor's Edge where he gives a eulogy and it's really mean and he's like, you're fat and gross and nobody ever loved you and the world will not miss you.
Yeah.
And, like, that was the eulogy he gave for John Belushi.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, that would be so awkward because I can only imagine Aykroyd like sitting there.
Yeah, but I don't know if he was like trying to be funny or
that's
if he
what
was
I was
trying
thinking,
to be funny
like,
but not but was like joking but not. Like, I don't know, but that is
I can't
a
imagine he would straight be like straight
but,
up.
But that's
doing
a
that.
Variation.
I feel like
of
that was something Chevy Chase would do.
I know, right? But yeah, it's a variation. It's like a rewrite of that eulogy. Yeah.
Dang, that's crazy.
It happens, and I mean, and The Last Duel isn't a big movie, you know. Like,
I just mean, like, but I mean, like,
I don't
Ridley.
Know. I mean,
I feel
Adam
like
Driver and
Ben and Matt Affleck. That's what I was about to say.
Yeah.
Matt Damon and
I mean,
Ben
that
Affleck.
Was,
and,
I mean, that was designed to be a big movie.
Yeah.
It ended up not being a big movie, but
yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
it
because
was,
of millennials,
it was clearly designed to be Oscar bait.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. Oh, I
haven't seen it. Is it any good? It's on Disney Plus now, isn't it?
No, it's not on Disney Plus.
I thought it was on something.
It's out to buy on digital. Now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Disney Plus.
I don't know.
No, it's. I just mean like it's okay if the same director made a 007 movie and a Marvel movie in the same year. I just mean it's not like The Last Duel
that's
was
fair.
A, you know what I mean? It's like I, more
but
of
like
a,
they came, but I mean they came out what that only came out 2 months ago.
Yeah.
And that's fast. That's a quick turnaround.
But I still think it was just because log.
It was
you're probably,
it
you're
was totally
right.
A year.
You're totally
it was
right.
Supposed to come out last year.
Here's the thing about this movie, House of Gucci.
It's a hate crime, I think.
It's so, like the idea of this movie seems amazing, right? Like, have you watched Succession on HBO?
No.
It's a brilliant show. And
but you can only watch, you can't binge that show.
No, you cannot.
It's so.
I do one episode like every couple
it's
days.
It's so icky.
Yeah.
Like, because we've got like two or three behind.
Okay.
Because it's like you sit down and you watch it, and like you watch that show, I mean, for like it's you know, like an hour, and you feel like you've been watching television for like 3 hours.
And not in a bad way.
Like you started at 6 and you're done at 7 and you're like, is it time for bed?
Can I go to sleep now?
Like how? Like it's just there's no good people in
no,
that show.
Everybody, there's people who are not as bad as other
right,
people.
Right, there's just less bad
yeah,
people.
Right.
But everybody's awful.
But
it hurts amazing.
It's great. And like the backstabbing and the infighting.
Yeah.
Like so everything about this movie seems right up my alley because there's almost like a this sounds stupid. There's almost like a mobster or a mafia movie.
It follows
aspect
the beats
to it.
Of the first Godfather, right? Like
almost identical.
You've
right?
got at least for the first hour or so. Like so you've got this guy who really doesn't want to be part of the family business.
Happy to be a truck driver.
Right. And then through a set of circumstances he can't control, he gets pulled into the family business.
Yep.
Yeah, this is just bad Godfather.
And he turns out that he's actually kind of likes it.
And he's kind of good at it.
He's kind of good at it.
Yeah.
And then that power corrupts him. Right?
Does it corrupt him, though? Or it corrupts her. He kind of, I mean, he's,
well,
he
corrupts
becomes
her
a
first,
dick.
And then that corrupts him.
I guess that's true.
That's how I read it.
Yeah, I guess
basically,
the move.
She created the monster that destroyed
for
her.
Sure. Because he was a genuinely good, nice person in the beginning. Adam Driver's character was really, I mean, he left the money. He threw it all away. He didn't care for love. And he, like you said, he was happy to be a truck driver while he was trying to go to school and be a lawyer and everything. Like, very humble, not worried about the money and all that. And you know, by the end of the movie, spoilers, it takes a very different turn.
It takes the turn of Sonic.
I didn't even think about that comparison, where now it makes me like the movie even worse, because it is just kind of like bad Godfather with those beats of the story.
This is the speech I used to get in school all the time, was like, Tommy's really smart. But he could be doing so much better.
Mm-hmm. That you are, yes.
That are you talking about this movie or me?
Yep.
Yeah, they're both
the
true.
Movie.
It's not either or.
Well, yeah, clearly Ridley Scott and A-list actors can make a great movie.
And
like,
so when was the last time you made a great movie, though? When's the last time you were like, holy, that Ridley Scott movie was amazing?
Well, I like Prometheus, so like I like a lot of his movies that are.
Where would you put that like in his stuff?
I think Prometheus rules. Yeah,
okay.
I love
okay.
Prometheus. Yeah, that's a great. I think it goes like Alien Prometheus. Like that is
okay,
fantastic movie. So I mean, Ridley Scott's made a lot of movies. He's
totally agree, but like I feel like his most recent output is not good. Hmm. And I feel like
the problem here. Ultimately is the script. Like, it's a good looking movie.
Yeah.
But I will say it had some tonal issues, and that falls to the director. Like, I feel like it couldn't figure out if it was supposed to be like serious or kind of campy.
And
the actors didn't know either. So all of them were in different movies.
I think your main actors knew what they were doing. And then you get to Jared Leto,
right,
who had no clue what he was doing.
I don't know. Like, I think Adam Driver is probably the best. And I'm not saying that his like Italian accent and everything was perfect. But as far as acting goes, I feel like he was the best.
Lady
Gaga sounded Russian. And she was campy in a lot of it. And I mean, I didn't think she was that great. Jared Leto was doing
something. He's in a completely different movie.
But if you were in a campy, trying to be a soap opera thing, fine. But then every other actor did not match that energy. So that was weird.
Even when they're on scene, like in scenes together, he's like on a whole nother world.
Right.
Yeah. And I just imagine like when Ridley Scott.
It's a me, Paulo.
Oh my God. I can only imagine when
that
Ridley,
wasn't a clip, but I mean, that's pretty much exactly like.
When Ridley Scott calls cut, I can only picture like Pacino being like, What are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing? And
he's like leave, Pacino's like, leave a little scenery for me to chew on.
Well, that's the
thing. I know. Pacino here, was the most subdued out of the two.
That's what I was going to say. I forgot how much I loved that Pacino.
That was Pacino
because
really
I haven't,
acting. Yeah.
I couldn't remember the last time I saw him in a role where he wasn't doing the Pacino thing. Yeah,
it's
that
like
whole
when Nicolas Cage stopped being Nicolas Cage and like he's put out some great movies lately.
Did you watch Pig?
Yeah, I love Pig.
Yeah, okay.
It's very subdued, and that's one of my favorite films of the year. It's excellent.
Interesting. Okay.
So, but like Nicolas Cage was Nicolas Cage for a while. Pacino was Al Pacino for a while. Just, you know, kind of like Ryan Reynolds is Ryan Reynolds now and everything, right? They all had their caricature of themselves.
Scent of a Woman is kind of that line, yeah. Right? That's where he starts to kind of ramp it up a little bit. And man, every time I was like, yes. Like, this is the Al Pacino I love.
He gives a pretty nuanced performance in a lot of this. And I mean, yeah, he's big and over the top in some ways, but also he is very quiet in some scenes.
That scene when Jared Leto tells him that they sold all the stocks.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, there it is. He was saving it for this one.
But it was still great, though. I love the way that they embrace. He's like, you're an idiot, but you're my idiot.
Yeah,
like,
that's,
there
a,
was
good,
a, really
that's a good
nice,
line.
Whereas the Jeremy Irons character was more like, you do something I don't like, you get disowned. Al Pacino still kept Paolo pretty close. And then in the end, he's
but
like,
the
well,
Jeremy Irons character, like, let's not lose sight of the fact, was right.
Totally right.
Like, he called her instantly.
So that's
interesting. But it's weird because I don't think she was in the beginning, though. So it's weird that
she perked up as soon as he said Gucci. When they meet in that bar, he says Gucci, and she's like, I know exactly.
So
you
think she really was a gold digger from the beginning?
I do.
Oh, man, she played the long haul then, because when I could only imagine he was like,
but
yeah, I'm gonna piece out from the fortune.
I think I'm not saying, like, gold diggers get a bad rap, like, right? You can be a gold digger and still have a certain degree of affection for the person
with no broke.
You're digging, you know?
But I mean, at that point, when he left everything and they had nothing and he's going to be a truck driver and all that, that is a long game for her to play.
Sure, but I still think in her mind that, like, I don't think that she was, so, like, I don't think she was the kind of gold digger that was out looking for millionaires,
sure.
Right? But I think when she came across one, she was like,
she was at that party with another dude and immediately was like, we never saw that guy ever again.
and so when his family disowns him, I think she still was like, okay, but this is still probably a better path to being wealthy than me just picking one of these truck driver guys off the lot.
She does immediately, as soon as Al Pacino invites them to the party, she's immediately in his ear, like, hey, family.
Because she,
like,
knows.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like she was always like, okay, at some point they'll come around. Like, if I stay with him, and, you know, if when we're married for 10 years, then
maybe he trickles back in there.
Yeah, then they figure out that, like, okay, then I prove that I'm not a gold digger.
I mean, I can totally see that, and maybe she did have that on her mind. I can see all those points. But to me, it just really seemed like one of those power and money corrupts things. Like, she seemed more innocent in the beginning to me, to where I didn't think her intentions were that nefarious. And
that's
then
fair.
It was like,
I just feel
she
like
just got corrupted.
As soon as she got into this family, she was instantly plotting. Of
she
how
was making
to,
the making the moves.
Totally. I mean, and she was, but she was right too, though. I mean, even before the seas, like, trying to take it over, to me it seemed more like, well, yeah, this is your family, this is opportunity for all of us, why wouldn't we get back in there? Like, to me it just seemed of an honest thing, like,
we got to get
you back, and why would we continue to live this meager life when we could be a part of the Gucci thing? I don't feel like she wanted to take over, but then the money and the greed and the power, and then she's like, oh, well, you know, now I am Gucci, and these people don't even get it, and we need to take over, and it corrupted her. So there was more of a transition. And so there are things I like in this movie, for sure, but It was totally awkward, and the performances were all over the place.
And we never really get a story or a through line on what makes Adam Driver's character flip.
Yeah.
It's just
he
one
just
day
does it.
He flips.
Yeah, he just does it.
Like, it's his uncle tried to kill him in the thing, and that's what happened. He became a bad guy.
And so it's like we needed something to show what that evolution was.
Yeah, because in The Godfather...
And that's where it goes back to the mediocre student analogy, right? Like, there's somewhere in here, there's a good movie, there's a good story, and these people should be able to make it.
I agree.
And they didn't.
Yeah, that's true. In The Godfather, you do see the flip, right? You get the reason Michael
right.
does what he does.
He's like, oh, then, they tried to kill my dad. So, like,
F these guys.
I'm going to go do this thing I don't want to do because they tried to kill my dad.
Yeah. And they killed my brother.
And yeah, I'll kill the cop because, no, the cop's not hands off because the cop's involved himself in this world.
Right.
This isn't a good beat cop that's,
no.
that, like, this guy's just.
He's on the tape.
He's one of us, except he betrayed an oath. So, like, why are we.
Bam, bam. I'm out of here. And, but so like that, you see his progression in that.
Right.
And even I even think up until
and it's, what makes it so good. Let's talk about the Godfather.
Let's. I'm in.
Yeah. What makes
didn't
it
we
so,
do that already?
I don't
three.
Think
we talked about
we
three.
Three.
Oh.
But
I'm happy to talk about one and two.
I guess I watched them all, and yeah. I think you did too. Oh, and then yeah. we talked about three.
But yeah. what makes it so good is like every decision he makes, like you
kind of get it.
You get it. Like
yeah.
you're like, yeah, I would probably do the same thing. Like,
absolutely.
I get why if I'm this guy in this world, like. That's I would do that.
And they blow up his wife.
Yeah.
Right? Like that's the other crazy thing is like he goes to Sicily to get away from the whole thing and he thinks he gets away from him. He finds this woman who's beautiful, Apollonia, like and then she gets blown up in a car.
Yeah.
And now he's like, well, I guess I'm going back home.
Guess I'm all mobbed up.
But
now.
Even like even that entire movie, he's kind of even up until the end when he, you know, he ushers Kay out of the room and he
yeah.
they're kissing the ring. He's still kind of the good guy. And he hasn't really done anything.
He's always like the way they present him. He's always looking for an out. Like this isn't his first choice. Like,
right.
Like with Vito and Sonny, like that's their jam.
Yeah.
Like, this is what we do. Why would we do anything else? And he sees beyond that and is like, no, we need to wash this off of our hands and be this other thing.
Which is when we get it to three.
Yeah. And
right. Like
and it just can't get there. And you know,
pull me back in.
And that's what makes it so fascinating.
So good.
Like this should have been The Godfather, except Kate's an evil bitch.
Yeah,
right?
and Adam Driver is constantly trying to.
They, you know, it should have been like almost flipped, where like Michael didn't want to do it and Kate did. Like that could have been.
Oh, I see.
You know,
ooh, that's a good
and so
idea.
Kate's pushing him
which
to
is
be that.
Can we remake The Godfather?
Did,
like that?
But
what's that?
Let's remake The Godfather.
Okay,
yeah.
What could go wrong?
But, I mean, it really was her pushing everything the whole time, so
yeah.
it really kind of was. But they didn't focus on that dynamic enough. Where
right.
I agree, if that was really the focus, and we saw Adam Driver in scenes by himself contemplating this, reacting to what she's doing, it was always just kind of like she pushed him, he went along with
and
it.
Just like, okay.
They got more power, and then she did it again and again. And I can see that, like. He finally broke, but we didn't see it on the screen. Like you'd get why
all
the character
of a, all
did
of a
it.
Sudden he was this other person.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because there are some weird time jumps. There's some very odd
yeah.
like time skips. Where,
well, let's start at the beginning so we can get through the plot.
Well, okay, real quick, I just want to like we get to the yeah. that sex scene on the in the truck yard,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, am I watching a Paul Verhoeven movie? Like, maybe. What is happening? Because they leave nothing. To the imagination. I was like, and she's getting railed.
It's a very
on
horny
that.
Movie.
It is a very yeah. horny movie.
Which I was surprised. I'm like,
And I, but didn't
Sir
he,
Ridley.
Did he do, Savages?
More like Randy.
Was that him?
No.
Who
no,
was that?
That's Oliver Stone.
Oliver Stone. Yeah.
Who was the, what's the one with
well,
Cameron
I
Diaz
love
on
Savages.
The car?
The one where she has sex on the, she has sex with the car?
Yeah.
That's,
I always forget. I blocked that movie out. I always forget the name of it.
But yeah, like I was, I watched that scene. I was like, Jesus. All right. Well. Very good. So yeah, so this movie, it opens with at this party we see Lady Gaga and she's at a party basically at this massive thing. She's there with a dude and then she kind of like the dude just kind of disappears into the crowd and she tries to order a drink from the bartender. The bartender turns around and it's Adam Driver and he's like, "Oh, I was just getting my own drink."
I don't know where the bartender.
Yeah, I don't know. She's like, "But I'll make you something." So they, you know, there's instant chemistry. And I will say, I think that these two do have some chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think they work together on
yeah.
the screen. And they have, you know, they hit it off and they have this good night. And then he is kind of like a straight laced kind of dude, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
he's kind of a homebody. I do like the line where he's like, "Oh, it's 10 o'clock. I got to go." And she's like, "What do you turn into a God?" What was it? She calls him something. He's like, "Actually, it's a pumpkin," and like, and then walks away. I was like, "Oh, that was a good line."
Yeah.
It was the movie was The Counselor, and it was directed by Ridley
I
Scott.
I thought it was.
There you go.
Yeah. So Ridley Scott now has a theme apparently in his movies. So like they kind of hit it off, and I think she realizes that. Did he say? Is this where he says that his last name is Gucci? Does he say it here
at the party?
At the party.
Yeah.
So she's like a.
And she instantly gets moist.
Stink on shit. She's like trying to follow
but
him around.
But doesn't he say at the party he's studying to be a lawyer?
And
then she shows up to where he's studying the next
yeah.
day.
He definitely,
so maybe
because,
it was a little bit
you know,
more.
No, she was stalking him.
Yeah. Yeah. She oh,
was,
yeah.
She was manufacturing a meet cute.
Right. So, because yeah. I'm like, okay, so she did show up. And, oh, you study here too or whatever? So, like, yeah, yeah, I guess that's hard. Yeah, it's a little easier to say, like, that wasn't just...
That was not happenstance.
Cutesy, or it wasn't even just like, okay, like innocent cutesy. Like she was really trying to. Yeah. Yeah, okay.
She was scoping this dude out. Finds him in like the law library.
Yeah.
And they hit it off again. And this is where there's the first
I
weird.
Like when she wrote her number in lipstick on the visor.
On the visor.
And then she put lipstick on.
Yeah, it was gross. Yeah.
That was gross.
Super gross.
Oh, I thought it was cute, but
like, it's,
I
like it's all well and good. So you put bird
till she put the lipstick on.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I mean, there's
like,
bugs
yeah.
all over that thing.
Yeah.
If she came
bird
up and just like
and
she should have put it on and then wrote the number, and yeah. then kissed the visor. For
that's
the lipstick.
Just as gross.
Oh, yeah. Oh, dang it. Well, she had the protection from the lipstick.
All right. I don't think you know how lipstick works.
Yeah, that's
it's not.
Anyway, so
it's not like it's plus three healing.
So he calls and they go on a date.
They hit it
and
off, and
there is some kind of time jump because all of a sudden
he's taking
well,
her to
no,
meet
I
his
guess,
dad, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And we're introduced to Jeremy Irons, the most non-Italian man that
I'll
probably
tell you, there's
exists.
A lot of non-Italian Italians in this
I gotta
movie,
tell
which is
you,
why
man.
I think this feels like some kind of hate crime. I don't know how. I mean, I guess if you're really
just wait until Chris Pratt does the voice of Mario.
But like this movie was an entire cast of people doing
I've
impressions.
I've already seen Jared Leto do the voice of Mario.
That's what I'm saying. This entire movie was full of a cast doing Mario impressions.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
how it's the most stereotypical.
Pacino gets a pass. Right? Like that?
Yeah.
Fine.
But like when you hear, and I love Adam Driver, don't get me wrong, when you hear him go into that, it's a da 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 da, I mean like, how do they get away with this? It just feels so offensive. And I don't know if you're Ridley Scott, I guess, and you know, and obviously he gives no Fs.
None.
I mean, he has Fs to give, and he will yeah. give them to you. You saw that interview?
I did.
Where the guy...
The millennial thing?
Did you... No.
Oh,
you guys haven't
no.
seen the newest interview?
He walked out of one, didn't he?
I don't know that he walked out of it. There was just a small clip. This guy from Russia or Germany was interviewing about this movie, and he said, this movie's more realistic than Kingdom of Heaven or even whatever, like, other period
this
pieces.
This is the interview's talk, saying this
yeah.
to Scott. Okay.
And he said, well, I'll just quote it here. We can believe later, but this is, oh, yes, sir, you can go... yourself yeah go
fuck
yourself to the guy
but it's like he's not wrong
thank you very much go fuck yourself that's what he says to the guy and the guy's like but like okay I think this guy was foreign I don't think English is his first language and what I think he meant was this is more grounded than a period piece
right.
fantasy film
yeah
when he said realistic he didn't mean like your other films are garbage and are fake and like he just I think he meant grounded
right
and so I felt bad for the guy not knowing anything else maybe he's a D-bag and people know this guy I'd never seen him but like I just felt bad because I'm like, dude, he was just trying to say, like, you made a story about, like, this family, and it's more recent. It feels like more...
It's very... It's real.
The like, camera work feels grounded, but, like, Kingdom of Heaven may have been based on some, you know, medieval whatever.
Oh, sure.
But I just mean that, like, this movie from the camera work and everything, like, I felt that. It felt more of a real...
Man, I don't think I've ever seen that movie.
Smaller, contained type story. So, anyway... I mean, Ridley Scott, he's like 87 or something. Like, he's old, and he does not care anymore. So.
That's... Yeah. It shows that he doesn't care.
Yeah.
So he takes her to meet his dad. And
I mean, he cares about his projects. I just mean he's not tiptoeing around like speaking
sure.
his mind. He's at the age where
he's not
just,
playing the press game.
He's like John Carpenter.
Because what does he have to lose? He's making movies. They're giving him all this money. Like he doesn't. He's not going to lose anything.
Carpenter's like a crotchety old man. He's just. This is where
it's all fun and games
until she says what her dad does.
Yeah, until he realizes they're getting more serious.
Yes,
because it's like okay, you're dating this girl, you're messing around, whatever, and then he just expects her to be from some high end family,
right?
No, he
She's
has
a truck
trucking business, and then he's you know later on he comes to talk to him and he's like, oh yeah, she really likes you a lot, and he and Jeremy Irons is like. No, get rid of her.
You can date her. You can have sex with her. You can do whatever. Just don't marry her.
And then he says, I want to marry her.
Yeah, he's like, well,
and that's
I got
why I'm
some
guessing there was a time jump where they don't really show it. But it's like, well, if he's talking about marriage, like clearly they've dated a while. It wasn't
right.
He's like, we're in love.
No, it feels
but
like
they
felt
been, fast.
It did feel
it
fast.
It did feel.
Like they, if they didn't make the time jump very clear in that.
No, and none of the time jumps are clear.
Yeah.
You know, you get
the only
that
one that's clear
one,
is
but...
when she says she's pregnant and the next scene she's holding. Yeah,
oh, okay. 9 months. Got it.
That is clear.
I could do the math on that
one. So he says, Jeremy Irons says, if you do this, you're done. He was like, cool.
Peace
take
out.
It, take it all. I don't care.
And he shows up. Like, I kind of like that he shows up and asks for her father's permission to marry her. And then he's like, now that I don't have a job, I really, there's nothing, there's no reason for you to let me do this, but I love her. And then Lady Gaga nudges her mom, and the mom nudges the dad. And then next thing you know, they're married.
Right, right.
And he's working for the truck business. And he's like, I need a job.
Laying pipe, literally, in an office.
And it was the grab ass with the other truck guy.
I'm telling you.
I was just like,
is everybody on board with this?
Yeah.
All right. That's fine.
When they're hitting each other with the hose. Yeah. And I was like, that's a little. And they're wrestling in the hose.
I did think, I was like, oh, okay. Because I don't know. I know nothing about this family.
Yeah.
Right.
So I knew not one thing about this story.
I know that it's a brand.
You're not a fashionista, Tom?
Well, here's the thing. I know that there was supposed to be a murder at the end. And it wasn't until about 10 minutes before the murder that I realized this wasn't Versace.
Oh,
that was the American Crime Story.
Right.
Yeah.
I didn't watch that. And I was like, oh, wait, that's not where this is going.
Okay, let's pause in the plot for a second. Let's talk about this. This is a bit of a bait and switch. This movie's 2.5 hours. There's
stupid.
A murder at 2 hours and 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And it isn't even mentioned for 2 hours
right.
plus. So it's a little ridiculous that they paint this as some sexy murder, blood, crazy crime.
True crime kind
it's
of.
It's not.
Yeah.
The entire movie has nothing to do with a murder. And at the very end, spoilers, it's like Lady Gaga's like, I'm an awful person. I'm not getting what I want. Let's do a murder.
And then they're like, and we caught her. The end.
I mean, the movie just ends. So
right.
The movie is not as sexy for those reasons as they're selling it. So that marketing is very misleading.
Well, yeah, because they needed to get people in theaters.
Yeah, but it's not about a murder. There's a murder in it at the end.
No, I think that's how you have to end this movie, right? Like, you have to have the ending be him getting killed and her getting caught.
It's the end of the story.
But that's what I'm saying. You know what I mean? You don't have a choice.
Yeah.
But there could have, you could have, I don't know, the stupid Selma Hayek character, which I assume was real.
I assume
I don't think there's any way you can put that in there. And
should
it
have
not
spent
be...
more time at that mud bath place.
Speaking of sex,
those were very, very important scenes.
Weren't you just complaining about this being a horny movie? Now we got a horny podcast on our hands.
I don't believe
69,
I
baby.
I don't believe I complained about it. I was pointing out facts.
What were you pointing with?
Exactly.
Well, yeah.
12-6. Their life progresses and they're having, you know, a very happy life living together, and him being a truck driver, her working for
humble
the business.
Life. They're
yeah,
in love.
Totally fine.
And genuinely, it seems like they are. The movie's not painted, even though you can definitely read into it, it's not painted as Lady Gaga plotting to do whatever and you realize she doesn't really love him. Like, I mean, they are in love.
Totally. And then she gets a phone call from Al Pacino, who is Adam Driver's uncle in this movie, and invites them to his birthday party. This is where we see Jared Leto for the first time. And it's just like, brother, look, I don't mind Jared Leto when he's just being normal.
I like Jared Leto in Requiem for a Dream. And I thought
totally
this guy's
fine.
A really good actor.
Yes.
And then, you know, he did the Dallas Buyers Club, which he was very good in that.
Who's the guy that shot Lennon?
Yeah.
Mark Chapman.
Yeah, because he was more of a subdued thing.
Yeah.
But after he won the Oscar for Dallas Buyers Club, which was a good performance, but I'm just saying, after that, something happened to this dude to where he was like, well, I'm an Oscar-winning actor, and he just seemed to go, I know he's had the band thing for a while, but like something changed where he just is totally out there.
It's funny. I saw the trailer for Morbius, and I was like, this doesn't look bad. Like, he actually looks like he's doing just acting. I just need you to act.
So his performance, here's what it reminds me of. You know when you hear those stories about when they were making Pirates of the Caribbean and they would get the dailies, the suits at Disney would get the dailies, and they would see Johnny Depp and they'd be like, what are you doing? But then when it was all assembled, it looked fine. I feel like watching this movie is what the suits at Disney felt like watching the dailies of Johnny Depp.
And they were like, oh, this is going to turn into a...
They were scared to death. They were like, stop doing that.
No, I know they were in Pirates. I mean, for this one, though.
But I think now the suits are like, well, everybody... It's so famous that we were wrong when we said that to Johnny Depp.
Tell him no.
We can't tell these actors no anymore when they swing for the fences, which is why you get Tonto in The Lone Ranger.
And the Joker.
Yeah.
Right? Like, right. Like his Joker is holy guacamole. Like
you can't give a note.
But it's weird. I kind of don't hate what he's doing in this. It just doesn't seem like it belongs, if that makes sense.
No.
Like, I kind of don't hate his Paulo thing. If it, the whole movie felt like it, full of Paulos.
Agree.
You know what, like, I mean? There's something like, I actually don't hate what he was doing, and the prosthetics look really good. So.
It just didn't make sense in context.
No, at all. Not compared to everybody else in this movie, he is doing like a Looney Tunes version of this movie.
I wish there was like, I wish I knew how this Paulo guy was. Like, does he maybe actually act like that and we don't know it?
I have
like,
no
if we
idea.
Saw footage of Paulo, would we be like, oh no, you nailed it?
Okay.
Yeah, maybe.
But I mean, like, even
like, I saw King Richard. Did you either
no.
you see King
no.
Richard? And like, the whole movie, Will Smith does this voice. We'll just call it a voice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because if I try to describe it,
I think
it's
we get
offensive.
It. Yeah.
But does this voice. And then at the end, you see actual footage of Richard Williams. And the dude doesn't talk like that.
Oh,
it was a choice.
Like,
it was
he's
a choice.
He's got a cadence to how he speaks, but it's not the same cadence I thought anyway that Will Smith was doing. And
weird.
I'm just like, well, that's a little odd because like the Will Smith voice is very step and fetch it. And
oh, really?
I thought and I thought, well, maybe the dude talks like that. Okay, he's very famous. This must be based on that. Hmm. And then at the end when I see him talking, I was just like,
oh,
well, that's not. What that guy sounds like.
That's an interesting choice.
Yeah.
Hmm. Oh.
Yeah.
I don't have to review it, so
yeah.
I didn't need to see it.
It's better than this.
Damn it. I did like Tom in our group chat did say, this was the best worst movie I've ever seen.
No, I said, it's not good enough to be
good. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
But it's not bad enough to be great.
Yeah. So that's is mediocre.
Yeah, like
aggressively mediocre.
If there'd have been more of Apollo type things, it would have been bad, but it would have been a blast.
Yeah, see, that's what I mean. Why wasn't this just a crazy down and dirty soap
I kind of think like an 80s cocaine fueled story about this crazy ass family.
Now it's Scarface.
I guess that's true. Yeah,
but yeah,
fair.
Like this should have been like a modern day equivalent of Dynasty. Like they should have
just own it.
Yeah,
but because it's Ridley Scott, it has to be like this high art.
I don't know, because it looks really good.
It does.
Well.
Soundtrack is good.
But no, everything, the look.
I didn't like they would use songs anachronistically.
Yes.
But really close. Like they were wrong, but close.
I didn't like the soundtrack.
Yeah.
I didn't like the choices.
I'm sorry. I guess I meant the score.
Like when they
like the score is fine, but the songs when you get the needle drops, I was like, ugh, they were too on the nose and they didn't fit.
And they were like of the era, but early.
Yeah.
So like they're playing when they do Faith,
right.
Which didn't even make sense to me why they were playing Faith there at the wedding scene.
Yeah.
But
because
like,
they were.
But it's also like that's like 3 or 4 years before that song came out.
Yeah.
Oh.
So like when you
that's a good okay
okay so I think a movie that had a really good soundtrack was American Hustle.
Yeah,
those needle drops were awesome.
Yeah,
and I want to say this time period was similar if I remember, but I can't.
It was
quite
definitely
remember.
The 80s because they had microwaves.
The
and
so
she had a Walkman 2 years before Walkman came out.
So the needle drops in American Hustle were awesome, and so these needle drops I was like, ugh, most of
what
the time.
What happened to that guy?
David O. Russell?
I feel like he was
notoriously hard to work with.
I feel like he was on a roll, though.
He's
wasn't
still
he?
Doing stuff, but he's just kind of hard to work with, I think, and that got out, and so maybe he took a little...
And George Clooney punched him in the mouth.
Took a little easy. Yeah, everyone punches him. What's her face?
Jennifer Lawrence?
No. Well, she was in a lot of his movies, but and on I Heart Huckabees, it was Dustin Hoffman, and then who was the actress?
Gwyneth Paltrow.
No.
Lily Tomlin.
Oh.
And apparently they had some big drag out throwdown thing.
Yeah,
on
he
so
was
like
really mean to her.
But yeah, Three Kings was George Clooney. Like this guy is hard to work with, but
Silver Linings Playbook and American Hustle as a back to back are pretty impressive.
Still a lot of good movies, but you know, that doesn't fly in today's like,
totally.
Like, oh, you're hard to work with, but you make great movies, because he does, but like, you can't do that now.
So I think
that's why he's kind of slowed down. I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm saying this
isn't. I think there was also a period of time where they're like, well, the great ones are, of course, trouble to work with.
Sure.
That's how you get great art. And it's like, no, that's just taking advantage of your status. Quit being a dick. Yeah.
So they go to the party, and then now the seed has been planted.
Lady Gaga kind of gets her hooks in.
She does to everybody.
Yeah.
Like she is very charismatic and personable, and she starts to like work the room basically,
but especially to Al Pacino.
Al Pacino. Yep. And
He gives him a wedding present, which is two tickets to New York.
Which I think is pretty slick. I do like that where they're in the car. Again, gives him Roadhead.
Yeah.
Like, very horny movie. She's like, it's not $400 or whatever. And she was like, he's like, what is it? And two plane tickets to New York to go.
Concorde tickets.
Ooh, fancy.
The Concorde was
That's
very,
no joke.
Yeah.
The fastest was like,
super. Yeah,
the fastest plane ride you could get from... What was the thing?
It was like
LA
it was like,
to
yeah, you could get from like New
Paris.
York to London in like an hour and a half.
Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah.
That was the thing. It was touted as like, yeah, people, rich people would use it for business or whatever and get, yeah.
All right. So they go to New York.
So that was not too,
no, that
you
was
pick your price Southwest,
yeah,
Southwest $69.99 tickets. Those were
Southwest, if you're listening to this,
they
it's
still
great.
Picked the $69.
They did.
And then again with the $669.
So they go there and
they go to the fashion show and it's like now Adam Driver's like, oh, like he's getting closer and closer to being okay with this.
Yeah. And so was the guy they meet in the beginning as a kid, Tom Ford, and the guy later.
That's
was
who
the
I
same
thought.
Guy?
That's what I thought.
Was that
I think,
the same guy?
I think so.
They found him as a nobody. And then
no,
like,
he was at the thing. Right. And he was like, I would never work for.
Right. Right. That's what I mean. Yeah. They found him when he was just at the show.
Right.
And then
I think it's supposed to be the same guy.
OK.
I think
that's who I
because Tom Ford made a name for himself with what he did with Gucci,
right,
as we eventually see. And now he has his own line and he made that A Single Man, which is one of my favorite movies of all time with Colin
and then
Firth.
He made Nocturnal Animals, which was awful.
Yeah. And which,
oh, is that?
That's
man,
Tom
Nocturnal
Ford,
Animals.
The fashion design.
Jesus Christ.
Garbage.
But A Single Man is so beautiful and so good. And it's amazing where this guy is depressed and he loses his partner. And then his world is like black and white. And then color slowly starts to come into it. Like Tom Ford, that's his directorial debut. He's a fashion designer. And he makes this incredible film. 2009, I believe.
Go back in the feed because there's a Nocturnal Animal episode.
Well, I know. And then I was excited because I loved A Single Man.
Yeah.
We watched that. And I was like, ooh, yikes.
Yeah.
Where it was like, yeah, like
sometimes you only got one in you.
And that's okay.
Which was weird because that was the one where like Amy Adams was played by Borat's wife, right? In the story.
No. Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
But
yes,
then
yes,
there
yes.
were other people who played the same the same actor was in both stories.
It was
stories.
Jake Gyllenhaal, wasn't it?
Yeah, Jake Gyllenhaal was him in both stories, yeah. But then it was a different I don't know. It
as
was
if
weird,
I couldn't
though.
Tell those two women apart already. They're gonna have them in the same movie as the same character.
But so anyway, he was great. So that was cool to see him because it was like, oh, yeah, because he becomes famous working for Gucci. So you see him, and that's what I thought it was the same kid.
Sure.
Who, you know, it
that totally
made a name
makes
for
sense.
Himself.
So now
Lady Gaga is basically like, we got to repair this relationship. He needs his
family.
Family
is so important. Yeah. So Adam Driver agrees to join, to go back to the family, and he starts to have like a
basically,
father.
Al Pacino has a goofy son Paolo who knows nothing about fashion,
right?
And so the only other choice is Adam Driver, so he's like, yeah, I'll take on this guy who actually is a lawyer and he can help us with the business,
right?
Gives him some new made-up title, which
doesn't really have
like,
an eye for fashion but has like an eye for business.
Yeah. And he's, you know, he's a Gucci that he can trust his decision making,
right.
So he takes him under his wing and they start spending more time.
My favorite scene of this entire movie is when Jared Leto goes to talk to Jeremy Irons.
Oh my God. And
this is the best scene of the movie.
Because everyone wants to do this to Jared Leto. And
yes.
You get to see, you get to live through someone being like,
you those, suck.
Those designs are his choices in these movies.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Right?
It's like
browns
we're
Jeremy Irons. And Jared Leto comes in with his Suicide Squad Joker,
yep.
Which are his browns and pastels together.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And we get to tell him.
And Jeremy Irons is like, look, some people have it, and some people struggle.
Are mediocre.
And you are mediocre.
You've excelled at mediocrity.
That, what a great line. That is a great line. You've excelled at mediocrity.
Yeah.
And he's just like, all right, man, see ya.
Yeah.
And Jared Leto just kind of falls further and further by the wayside as Adam Driver and Lady Gaga kind of streamline to the top.
But so this starts the whole like internal family conflict stuff where it's like, you know, Jeremy Irons wants nothing to do with his son, but his brother Al Pacino takes on Adam Driver, and then Paolo gets kicked to the wayside, tries to do his own thing. So they're all kind of, that's the infighting of the family.
Yeah,
whatever.
Which I think is the most interesting part, right? Like, I think that would be the most interesting part of this movie is like all of the infighting and the backstabbing. And
I think what makes this movie watchable at all is that the story itself is interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Know? Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, and so one thing that happens. So just to skip ahead, I mean, again, things are building, like we said, and Adam Driver and Lady Gaga are becoming like real Gucci, like you would imagine people in Gucci acting, dressing the part, doing the big business deals, bigger houses, bigger offices, whatever, you know, right. All that stuff's happening. And so eventually, Jeremy Irons, they have a kid, like Tom said, yeah. And Jeremy Irons passes away. He finds out he's a grandfather.
I order them to have a kid.
Have that child.
You two, breed.
And so time jump again, not, you can't really tell, but there is some type of time jump. We know he's been sick the whole time. He dies.
Right.
And but he never signed these share papers.
Right.
And so Adam Driver would have, instead of being signed over to Adam Driver, he would have to inherit them from his father. And so that would mean he'd have to pay 18 billion lira or whatever.
So much money, yeah.
So it would be just billions of dollars, if not hundreds of millions, whatever.
Was that Jack Houston?
Jack Houston is
okay.
The lawyer, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
He's
another guy who kind of just like,
he's good.
Was on the up and up and then kind of fell by the wayside.
Yeah, he was on Boardwalk Empire, which I think made him,
when his face was all messed up.
Oh. So, you know, at this point, you see Lady Gaga and the wheels are turning where they're both like, this is ridiculous. We don't have the money to inherit these. We'll have to just sell them. And that's what the lawyer, played by Jack Houston, you know, is insinuating. Like, you can just sell them and then pay the tax and take the money, whatever. And, of course, she's like, no. Like, they've become Gucci at this point, and they have to keep living this life. And she's, you know, she's like, well, she looks at a picture of his father, and it has a signature on it.
Right. Well, don't forget, we saw her forging checks in the first time
Correct.
We see her in this movie. Oh. She's signing her dad's name to all the checks.
Right.
I guess I didn't realize that was a bad... Like, I thought that was just, like, her doing business.
No,
like,
that she was... I mean, checks. I don't think she was necessarily stealing money from the trucking company. But, like, her dad was out doing things, and so she would sign the check. She would forge his name to the check.
Yeah, so I guess I didn't pick up on it, because
I
was like, oh,
she was
just...
I honestly don't think the character was doing anything nefarious at that point, other than the fact that she was signing a name that wasn't hers.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah.
So we see a picture with a signature of Jeremy Irons, so you're like, oh.
Oh,
and then all of a sudden,
they're
still at Gucci. So it's like, okay, we know. I mean, they didn't have to hit you over the head. I appreciate that. I don't want films that are like, oh, let's go to the forgery scene. Like, okay, we get it. They're still there. Clearly, that's what they did. The only other person that knows about it.
The only thing, I agree, the thing I didn't like about that is they never really addressed the fact, until later, they say that he's aware of it. But I'm just like, but this guy knows. That, like all of a sudden, these papers that weren't signed are signed now. Like, you would think you'd have to cut some sort of deal with that dude.
Yeah, I think he turned a blind eye, and my guess is that somehow they were just like, oh, look again, or oh, we found something.
Other copy.
Yeah. That's what I, like, I think that they probably...
He must have had these hidden in
and
his
And then he's
desk
just
floor.
Like, whatever, you know, I'm doing my thing, okay.
I still work here, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it comes back at least, which is good, and they want you to forget about it. That's why they don't make a scene of it. So that you can forget about it,
right?
And then it surprises you later. But so I like that. So anyway, they're still there. They're building power. But basically, Al Pacino is antiquated. Like, Gucci is becoming this brand that knockoffs.
Yeah, there's knockoffs, and Al Pacino's just kind of like, yeah, whatever. Because I think somebody has like a purse, and she's like, "Where did we see that? Where did you get
Gaga's
that?"
Lady Gaga's housekeeper has
that's
a knockoff.
What it is.
And like, she knows she couldn't afford
a Gucci purse, but she bought it down, you know, on the street corner where a guy was selling a knockoff Gucci bag or whatever. Is this where? And then is it Paolo or is it her that throw out the tax evasion and stuff like that? Like, it would be a real shame if this information gets out.
Yeah, so Al Pacino is like, hey, it doesn't matter if this, you know, Brooklyn housewife wants to have a Gucci or the illusion she's a Gucci customer letter, and they're all like, well, no, this is cheap crap and it's taking our brand down or whatever. And so Lady Gaga and Adam Driver talk, and she's like, well, we can't have this. Like, this guy is ruining Gucci, and, you know, we need him out. And so they go to Paolo, who's in the
Was
Gucci making cheap stuff, or is she just turning a blind eye to
it? I think he was turning a blind eye to it.
I don't get, like, if that's your thought process, then make your own knockoffs and make money from it. Like, if you want to become like a mid-tier brand,
right?
Like, at that point, it's like you're lessening your brand and you're getting nothing from it.
I thought that's where they were going, where he was going to be like, yeah, we know about these.
Right.
We're letting people get Gucci and making money, but not charging. Like, I thought, because Adam Driver goes, these are pretty good. I was going to say, I thought Al Pacino was going to be like, yeah,
because
we make them.
Because they do that. Like,
so that would have been an interesting.
You buy a Michael Kors. There's a Michael Kors store in town at the outlet mall.
Yeah, that the outlet store.
That ain't the same purse you're going to get from the Michael Kors store in New York.
Right.
It's a different, they make lesser versions that go to the outlet stores.
Oh, okay.
And
okay.
So,
but they're not just mistakes. They specifically manufacture them to be outlet.
To be outlet brand.
And that way they pass them off as lesser price, but not ruining the big brand.
Right.
But they're on purpose doing
that. I mean, they're still stupid expensive, but not as stupid expensive as the
going
real
to the actual
thing.
Store.
But they can't just sell Gucci at Walmart. They have to have their own outlet.
But a lot of brands have that life cycle, right? Like there was a time when Jordache jeans were super high-end fashionable, and then and then they went down a notch.
You're wearing them right now.
Yeah, I am. And nothing comes between me and my Jordache. But then they went down a notch, and then now they're like Walmart jeans.
Right, know? Right.
So they go to Paulo, and Paulo has been, insulted by his family. No one wants his crappy designs, and he thinks he's the genius. And I mean, that probably the best part of the script is the Jeremy Irons talk down to Paulo.
Yeah,
like, that
really
was fantastic when he talks about real genius, doesn't know it, they don't go around saying it, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, he goes and he does his own crazy fashion show, or wants to, and Lady Gaga goes and talks with him and convinces him, like, hey, we need something because your dad's ruining this company and you're going to get your own line and all this stuff.
We'll bring you back into the fold. Yeah. We'll give you your own line and you'll be you're good to go.
And he's a little nervous to tell her, but he calls Adam Driver. Oh, thank you.
I didn't know what that was.
Oh,
sorry.
He's a little nervous to tell her. So he calls up Adam Driver. They meet and he gives him this stuff. He's like, yeah, so my dad's kind of behind on his taxes.
Right, right. And so he kind of goes to his dad and says, hey, if you don't give me X amount of dollars, it'd be a real shame.
He is a dumb character. He calls him at midnight and says stuff about taxes.
And he was
blah,
like, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. What
and the next day, he's like, do you think he'll know it was us? He had just called the dad and said taxes.
There's a scene in the trailer that is not in this movie where Al Pacino is playing racquetball and the feds go to pick him up. And like they put their badge up against the window. And I think it's a very funny scene where he was like, me? Like, you want to talk to me? But like that line isn't in the movie.
Okay,
the whole thing.
Scene's in the movie.
He's playing racquetball.
That when he puts the badge up, doesn't he say me?
No, he says nothing. Like he just puts the badge up, and then it's
he says something.
Oh, I didn't think that he did.
Yeah, maybe you blinked. And
maybe I did
at the
blink.
Same time,
that's possible. Yeah, it farted all the whole. Everything.
Oh, no need to rewind. Yeah. He didn't say anything.
Yeah, I can't rewind. It was in the theater.
Not true. they do.
Trust me. I tried to find it anywhere that I could.
So they're gaining power. They're getting, they get rid of the dad, and then Paulo has his own fashion show, and they send him a cease and desist.
Correct.
So they totally screw him over.
Oh, see, okay. I thought the cease and desist was from whoever. Like, I thought he stole those designs.
No, they did it.
They bought his designs,
okay.
And then were like, but we're not going to use them.
I'm with you. I thought that
he locked them up.
And so he did it. And then they're like, well, you didn't have permission to use Gucci in this way. So they screwed him over, as he had a right to be mad because he got played. You know?
Right. Yeah.
And so he comes and shows up and says, okay, well, this is war. You know, they try to buy him out and he's insulted. He leaves. And then he brings up then they think it's going to be him, but he wouldn't have known about the forged signature.
Right.
So all of a sudden, the police show up at their house.
And Adam Driver, is like, you got to go.
Yeah, I like how the butler, whoever, puts him on a motorcycle. They wheel it down the hill.
Doesn't start it.
He pushes it down the hill, and then he like waves.
Takes off to Switzerland.
So, yeah, and so he gets through, and then Lady Gaga shows up and tries to sweet-talk her way with the authorities. That they're not having any of that.
This is where the relationship starts to fall apart, because Adam Driver finds another woman who I assume was like an ex-girlfriend or something.
But starts to. This is where it does. This is the switch where it goes from, Lady Gaga decided to do this. She ruined everything by her power-hungry stuff or whatever. But we never see Adam Driver and her having any contention.
This is the flip.
But like, yeah, all of a sudden he goes away. He realizes she did this. And now, of course, they're coming after them for this crime and everything. And then Adam Driver like sees this woman. They start to be friendly, and he's not interested in Lady Gaga anymore.
Yeah,
he
completely disassociates. That's a word, right?
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, from her, like he's just like it's not. And I do. That's another great line, I think, where then the way he delivers it is it's a gut punch where he's like, I don't hate you. Like, I like you. You're fine. But I
just
don't.
Not going to spend the rest of my life.
I don't love you anymore. And it's just, and like, he's so matter of fact and so blank about it. and emotionless, and she's crushed. Yeah. And
that's a good scene.
It's a real.
Hard.
I like. I
They're
like
both
them.
Good actors. They are. And I.
Yeah.
Lady Gaga is doing something more realistic, more believable. You know, it's just her too big in her Italian accent that sounds Russian and stuff. Like, I didn't like that for a lot of it. But in that scene, we know she can be a good actor.
Yeah.
And she is in that. But yeah, so it falls apart. He starts dating the other woman. He basically sends her back to Italy.
Yeah, with the daughter.
He's like,
so like, I mean, he's kind of a dick, right? Because he wants nothing. Not that he doesn't want anything to do with his daughter, but he has this whole nother life with
she
this.
She says, like, what about your daughter? And he's like, well, I just saw her like a week ago. Like, so it sounds like he's.
But he's also very cold. He saw her 2 weeks ago. Like, your daughter misses you. Yeah, I just saw her 2 weeks ago. Like, that is
kind of a cold move.
I mean,
you know? He does live in Switzerland.
But she,
it is
okay,
chilly
but
there.
She's also using the daughter to manipulate
that
him
is
to
true.
Come back. So
they're both not good.
Right.
But I just mean that, like, Adam Driver isn't dad of the year. At this point, he has been corrupted and he's not a good person at this point in my mind.
Oh, I will also say shared custody probably looks a lot different. One, at that level. Two, at that time period.
Of course.
Like,
so we're thinking we're in the 90s at this point.
I think it's like early. I think it's like early to mid 90s.
OK, because we don't know because they don't
Doesn't
tell
he get
us.
Killed in 94.
I don't know.
It was in the 90s.
Yeah. So it's probably like. Late 80s, early 90s.
Okay. So this entire time, even in the very beginning of this movie, when they lived in their modest little house, she had seen Salma Hayek plays this PETA, this character, not the character from The Hunger Games.
Or the bread.
Or the bread. That's true. Mm.
Or the chips. The chips are good.
Ooh, chips are good. She's like she's a palm reader or a fortune teller, which again...
She's
total
a
bunk.
1-900.
Yeah, right, right.
Fortune teller, and
but
she gets
then
hooked
she,
on this.
She becomes like her main customer, and she's giving her all this advice, and blah blah. So they devise this plan that they're going to hire these two hitmen because now Adam Driver is talking about divorce and a custody agreement, and
at this point,
you can keep the house in Milan. I'm going to do it over here. And
Adam Driver is basically like, I'll make sure you're
taken care of,
but. Not like 50-50. He's basically like, he goes, I'll give you a little bit of money until you get on your feet or something. Like, it does not look like a bright future
for
Lady Gaga.
Right. So she decides to have him killed.
Yeah.
And she hires these two hitmen. I do like that the hitmen
Which
are
clearly
like,
shows you what type of person she is.
Right.
If she's willing to do that to her husband and the father of her child because he's not interested in her anymore, she's a pretty bad person. Now, was that amplified by all the power and greed and stuff? Yes. But if she has that in her, then it kind of makes me feel more like, to Tom's point in the beginning, like that's just being amplified. If she's willing to go there, she is not a good person.
Right.
I just wish we saw more of that.
Yes.
The character in the very beginning of this movie, Tom's probably right, is like she's subtly moving the chess pieces, but she's still enjoyable and fun to be around.
I kind of wanted to
all
watch
of a
the
sudden,
story of the manipulator, like doing that.
I feel like it's when we get to...
And also... In her defense, lots of people manufacture ways to be around someone they're interested in.
Sure.
Right? Like, right. So, I mean, that in and of itself isn't like you're a horrible human being. And if you're already interested in somebody, and you find out they're super wealthy, well, that works out. That's going to make you a little more interested.
Right.
It's human.
Yeah.
Sure.
Hire the people.
I looked it up. It was like $50,000. It sounded like a lot, 600,000 lira or whatever, but it's like
seems
50,000.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah. So she gave him half up front in a bag.
Right. And then they kind of laugh about it. And I was like, these are cops.
Oh.
That's where I thought we were.
I think they're just really big doofuses. They were like, someone actually paid us.
Right.
Laughed about it, I think they were like, we got them.
And they end up like in a scene where Adam Driver, his world is also kind of falling apart where he's got to sell, he's no longer, he got in with
They got a bailout.
And then they weren't making
the
money.
Same people
that
did Tiffany's.
Right. They weren't making the amount of money they needed to.
Well, he is
isn't he
buying millions of dollars of
massive cars,
artwork.
And right.
He's living now the full Gucci, lifestyle. And
but
so
they haven't really resurrected the brand.
No.
Correct.
So he's still got an influx of cash in order to resurrect the brand, but he's burning through
it.
Right.
And so these guys are like,
we're down money. Like,
this is business and you're charging all this money to the company card. Like,
and he was like, ooh.
We want to buy your shares. So they're doing
thing. He's forced with the situation. Yeah. He kind of starts to go back to his roots where he's riding on a bike through this, I guess it's in Milan. I'm not really sure where they are. Italy, because they don't tell us anything in this flipping movie. And he's walking up the steps to what I assume is either the business or the house, because that housekeeper or that butler is there, and these guys jump out of the car and they shoot him. And I was like, oh, dang. All right. I guess I should have looked this up before.
And never bring a broom to a gunfight. Because that
very
poor
true.
Guy. Yeah. Hey, what are you doing?
Go, like, oh. shoot. And I pop, you know, yeah, get a shot. Was, yeah. And then immediately she's on trial. Like Adam Driver collapses on the steps.
You go straight
steps,
to the coda to the, of with, the
yeah,
film.
Right.
Yeah.
Ooh. Thank I you. See what you did there.
Well, because of Godfather 3.
No, I know. Yeah. I'm with you. And then she, like, again, I don't know. Like, this is a weird scene where, like, everybody's standing up when the judge is going to issue the sentence. And, like, she has this bravado, I guess, where she's refusing to stand because they won't address her as Gucci.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you're not cool.
She just owned that last.
Like, you are not. You know what I mean? Like, you're not the hero of this movie. Yeah. You're not the hero of this story.
But it just
like,
shows you the person she was. She, again, power corrupted her, and she became a Gucci in her mind, and that comes with all that.
And
that
she
entails.
Had every right to do that.
Yeah. I guess.
It's an entitlement.
Yeah. And that's how the movie ends, is all three of them.
Italian people are white. It was
hey,
Italian privilege.
What? I'm
so
silly, and it doesn't matter.
So I guess the...
hey, as an Irish guy, it's all the same.
It's not. You're not wrong.
There's no difference.
So I guess the guy that shot them got life,
yes.
And everybody else got like 50 years.
Yes, I think she's still in. Is she still alive? Right?
I don't know.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't
I think
follow
so.
That.
I did look up the daughter. The daughter's 44. I remember that. I was like, oh, I wonder how old she is at this point. Like, what is
the Gaga character was supposed to be in her late 20s because they mentioned her birthday. So mid
oh,
to
late
right,
20s. Right.
So she would have been 60 something, maybe 70. So she could still be alive.
Yeah.
They didn't say she died in the coma.
No, they didn't. That's true. Yeah. It isn't. I just wonder like what that kid's life is like now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that daughter, like what your mom, your dad's gone. Your mom's in jail for killing your dad.
I think she's being raised by PETA.
Yeah. The guy from Hunger Games.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
So the Al Pacino character, Adam Driver's uncle, he died in
he
like 90.
Yeah.
Paolo died penniless, they said. So
golly.
He died a poor, starving artist in
I
like
do
93.
Feel bad for Paolo. His only crime was not being talented.
And just being a doofus.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? I mean, yeah, he was a total doofus, but he was never manipulative in that way. Like, he was easily manipulative.
Right.
Yeah. Manipulated,
right.
But he was not a bad person.
Right.
He was a doof. And so he what
and trusting.
He, yeah, he thought what he was doing like
I swear to God, if he gets nominated for an Oscar,
he might. Because this is that's what
I guess
he's going for.
That's exactly
so.
What he's going for, yeah. Yeah, this had a lot of potential.
It's a shame.
It's a shame. Yeah, so. I agree.
It's
not good.
It's
man.
Not
it's,
trashy
it's,
enough to be fun in that way.
Yeah.
And it's not good enough to be
man,
prestige amazing.
You're right. I wish this was a little bit more trashy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like
just,
a soap opera.
It just
own
just it.
Should
have been garbage.
This
yeah.
should have been.
And it would have been great.
Yeah. This should have been Malignant level for this type of movie. You know, Malignant
that.
Owned what it was doing.
Okay.
You know how I said Malignant owned what it was doing?
I do remember you saying that.
Okay.
Yes. It should have been what Kevin thinks Malignant.
Yes, see?
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say. Exactly. So it just didn't own it, and it didn't know what it wanted
to be. It tried
to be
high art.
Yeah.
I mean, and to his credit, Sir Ridley is a great filmmaker. I mean, technically, he knows what he's
sure.
doing, right?
Sure.
And I agree, the script wasn't there, and the direction, unfortunately, to the actors, whether or not he could have intervened and told them to do something differently, these actors maybe just did what they did and he didn't step in, but like they just weren't all on the same level.
No,
like
yeah.
not
no,
talent wise, but
agree.
Choice wise.
Right.
And so it made the movie totally weird and the script wasn't good enough and it just felt sloppy. And I thought it was long too. It felt long.
Oh,
an hour and a half in, I think, was when the police were after them for the forged thing. And I was like, okay,
I'm
hooked.
There is a one point where I was like, hour and a half.
Yeah.
I got another hour and a half of this movie?
I'm like, but I took note of the time because I was like, okay, I'm into it. This is exciting. Forgery,
yeah.
The cops are after him. What's gonna happen? And they were already doing stuff with the family, like getting Al Pacino in jail and stuff. And I'm like, what time did this happen? Oh, it's been an hour and a half. And now I'm like, this is interesting. So it's very slow to get going. And then the back half kind of meanders a bit.
Meanders a lot
yeah.
of it.
So,
yeah.
Well, anyway, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online, Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group, and of course, don't forget our Patreon. So That's for this week. Next week, Joe, you're in luck. We'll tackle the new Steven Spielberg movie.
You guys might.
That's the
big release.
We were
just talking about how much you love Steven Spielberg movies.
I mean, that's
movies.
The biggest movie next week, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
You just met a girl named Maria.
Maria. Oh, man. I'm going to fall asleep halfway, 15 minutes into that movie.
Da-na.
Do I have to go to a theater to see this, too?
I think so.
I think so. I don't have a screener of it.
Yeah. I don't either. So, I don't know. They're Italians, aren't they? You should like that.
No, they're not. That's not all of us.
No.
I'm Sicilian.
You know, the only people that make a distinction between Italians and Sicilians are Sicilians. Italians and Sicilians.
Yeah, right.
The rest of us, we're just like, it's all Italy. Yeah. We don't know. We don't know.
And that's not offensive because they're white.
Yeah, exactly.
So, well, Sicilians are usually tan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's like the Irish. Everyone makes fun of the Irish.
Yeah.
And...
Well, and deservedly so.
Potato famine.
See, you two can do it to each other.
Don't put all your potatoes in one basket. That's what my culture has learned. So, anyway, that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Dick finds Joe by using empathicalism.
Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice because we already warned you. Better watch out. It's going to ruin the plot.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.